Hey guys, I think we'll make a start, and others will probably come and join us. Welcome to Bill and Julian. Let's make a start. So today we have our vision, so annual vision day. Just a brief sort of summary of where we're going today. I'll if you open up to John 21, we'll have a Bible thought in John 21 just a second. Then we'll hear from Simon Dowdy about important future plans for the ministry. Then we'll have a think about our finances. Then we're going to look back as well at encouragements over the last year and have a and hear from Will Rugg about what he's been doing at Rathbones. And then I think we'll close our time formally. That'll probably take us to 1:40. But if people want to stick on and ask questions, which you may well do, we'll have a time for questions then. Why don't I pray as we begin? Father, we thank you for our precious Lord Jesus and your Son, whom you love. Thank you that he is life. Thank you that he is the one in whom we find forgiveness, eternal life, eternal resurrection hope. We thank you that he is love personified, that he gave his life at such great cost to himself, that he is the good shepherd who died for his sheep, for us. Father, we do love Jesus and we love you, and we pray as we use our time now that you would be with us and guiding us through your word and helping us to look back and look forward faithfully and looking to serve Jesus faithfully in the Moorgate area. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Good. Just turn open to John 21. I find myself having to ask the question, why are we here in Moorgate? What are we doing? The Moorgate talks fairly regularly. Certainly worth asking that question once a year at the Vision Day, just to come back to the basics of what's the point in workplace ministry? And especially now, people might have more questions than ever in light of COVID. There's 1,000 places you could go to in the scriptures, isn't there, to for our to sort of give us our vision in Moorgate. But I was really struck recently by John 21, these famous words. I'm just going to read from verses 15 to 19. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you to where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after this, he said to him, "Follow me." That last verse there is really important, I think. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." That is that Peter is an archetypal disciple. So this conversation is not just for Peter, we take it, but Peter as the archetypal disciple, just as he was the archetypal disciple in his three denials of the Lord Jesus and his failure at the cross, so he's the archetypal disciple in his commissioning here. And so we take it, don't we, that what Jesus says to Peter here is he says to every disciple, "Follow me." Those words, of course, he said to all his disciples at the beginning of John in chapter one. And so here we have Peter as the archetypal disciple. And those words, "If you love me, feed my sheep." Now, I used to think this was about just about the church. So I used to sort of think Jesus means here, sort of find Christians and feed them up with the word. It was pointed out to me recently, and you'll be thinking, where have you been, Phil, for the last however many years? But it's been pointed out to me recently that, of course, when Jesus said this to Peter, the sheep he was talking about were not yet converted. There was no one apart from these 12 disciples who were already sheep. Jesus was talking about the sheep out there in the world, not yet converted. Peter, feed my sheep. We take it, give them the gospel. That's what he means. Give them the gospel and they will hear my words and follow me. So this actually originally was an evangelistic, a call to mission for Peter. Go and find my sheep and feed them. And John chapter 10, of course, my sheep hear my words and they follow me. So what then are the two great marks of our love for Jesus, according to Jesus in John's gospel? Number one, chapter 15, you will know, if you love me, keep my commandments. This is my commandment, that you love one another. So the first mark of love for Jesus is that we love one another. We love the church. But the second mark that we love Jesus, I take it here, is mission. Love one another and mission. Feed my sheep out there in the world, in the first instance, of course. But also, I just wanted to sort of note that this is such an encouraging understanding of what mission is, isn't it? That Jesus gives to Peter. He doesn't say to Peter, go and make people into my sheep. It's a difference, a big difference between, he says, my sheep are already there. They're out there in the world. Go and find them and feed them. And as you present the gospel, my sheep will hear my words and they will follow me. They're already my sheep. They know my voice. They will follow me. And that's a huge difference, isn't it, in terms of our understanding of what mission is, what our role is, and what Jesus's role is. So what's the point in workplace ministry? Well, I take it that together we are seeking to feed Jesus's sheep who are out there in the city, in Moorgate. We therefore are out on mission together. There are many gospel reasons, aren't there, to be on mission. You think of Matthew chapter 28. All authority has been given to me. Go and make disciples of all nations. Well, here we have, because we love Jesus, this is his command to us if we love him. If you love me, feed my sheep. And so perhaps you need, like me, you need to rehear these words at the beginning of 2021, of Jesus saying to you specifically, Brian, Steve, Paul, if you love me, feed my sheep. And it may be that we just, it's a great reminder, isn't it? And to ask, you know, what's our 2021 going to be about? There's all kinds of confusion about life at the moment, all kinds of things up in the air. Jesus says to us, if you love me, feed my sheep. What is the future of lunchtime ministry? People might be asking. It's a good question. And, I think what I'm about to say comes with the caveat of nobody can presume to know what the future of lunchtime ministry is. The Lord only knows that. However, I do think that we can say three things that persuade me that it would be foolish not to press on with lunchtime city ministry full steam ahead, even in light of COVID. The first one is, I take it the workplace will surely remain the primary opportunity for most of us. The workplace will remain, whether virtual or hybrid or physical, the workplace will be the place where we rub alongside people and they have to rub alongside us most naturally. And therefore, our work colleagues will remain our neighbours, whatever kind of sort of combination of virtual and physical work we have going forwards. The second thing, I take it, is market forces. Now, I don't know much about this, but, you know, my hunch is that, you know, market forces dictate that the buildings in the city must one way or another fill up again. And so I'm optimistic on that front. And then thirdly, social forces. One suspects that face to face will always be better. It's the way we've been created, etc. So for those reasons, I think, and for one more reason, I think it would be a mistake to assume that COVID, a sort of post-COVID city, will be less conducive for lunchtime ministry. So, you know, there are people who are, I suppose many of us will be thinking there'll be a move to a more sort of hybrid type of work, and that may well be right. But I think it would be a mistake to assume that that will mean that we have less access or less access to fewer people. Actually, it may mean we have access to more people, not less, if greater numbers of firms are able to have a foothold in the city. It may be harder for some to attend lunchtime talks, but it may be easier for others. Actually, we may find that there are factors involved in the hybrid situation that make it easier for some to come to lunchtime talks. So I think it would be a mistake to assume that a post-COVID city will make stuff will decrease or diminish our opportunities in the city. So what are we saying? Just to sum up, John 21, Jesus commands all of us, if you love me, feed my sheep. And so that's what we're about in the Moorgate Talks. We're about obeying Jesus's commands because we love him, to work together to reach the tens of thousands of people in Moorgate who we have access to, who are based in Moorgate, seeking to feed his sheep. And my sheep hear my voice and they will follow me. It, of course, meet with opposition. We'd be naive, you know. Verse 18, of course, Peter suffered as Peter was set to suffer for this. But it will meet with hunger as well. Rico Tice is really helpful, I think. You know, he says his experience of stepping out in evangelism, in ministry, two responses, hostility and hunger. And that really makes sense, I think, of these verses. Yes, hostility, you will go where you didn't want to go. But hunger, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. All that by way of a reminder of our vision, what we're about. I think now it'd be great just to hear from Simon Dowdy about future plans. Simon, over to you.
Thanks very much, Phil, and hello everyone. Thanks for having me with us at the Moorgate Talks today. Phil has asked me just to update us on future plans for the Aldersgate and Moorgate Talks just then in order to provide some kind of ministry context for the finance update that will then follow. So just a reminder, in a sense, going on from what Phil has already said, that the aim of the Moorgate Talks, like with the Aldersgate Talks, is to make disciples of Jesus Christ in the city. We do that as we proclaim the gospel amongst the working population through teaching and applying the Bible, regular weekly lunchtime talks, small group Bible studies, Christianity Explore courses, reading the Bible with people one-to-one. And of course, as part of that, we long to equip Christians as real partners in the gospel, such that they can make Jesus known in their places of work. For those who don't know, the Aldersgate Talks were the first of the two, Aldersgate and Moorgate, to be set up. They were set up in 2000 by a group of city workers going to similar talks as these ones at St. Helens Bishopsgate, but increasingly recognizing that with lunchtimes being squeezed, that they would value something more locally to where they worked. I was then asked to oversee those talks at Aldersgate in 2001, and became the vicar of St. Botolph's Aldersgate the following year. In 2010, these talks, the Moorgate Talks, were then started again, really, because there was a significant group of city workers who were coming to the Aldersgate Talks, others going to the Bishopsgate Talks at St. Helens, who were all saying it'd be great, again with the squeeze on lunchtimes, to have something more local to the Aldersgate area. And the vision is very much the same today. It is to make disciples of Jesus Christ in the city. Now, with that kind of background, and after much thought on my part, I have taken the decision to leave Symbotos and leave the Moorgate and Aldersgate talks in the summer of this year. I had considered doing so last year, but the church wardens encouraged me to stay on just to oversee this COVID season. And we trust as we begin to get out of it, the other end. I have to say, after 20 years, it is not an easy decision. It's been a wonderful privilege to be involved in these different lunchtime talks at Moorgate and Aldersgate over the last 20 years. And yet it's made much easier by the fact that Phil will be overseeing the talks during the interregnum. As we know, he is well suited to city ministry and he is passionate about it. Now, once I've left, the church council will then be advertising and interviewing for a successor. In the Church of England, that process can't begin until I've left. We then expect the interregnum to last probably something around 6 months, that kind of thing. The challenges ahead are clearly significant as we seek to rebuild the ministry post-COVID. And yet there are also opportunities, in particular, I think, in the Old Street area, the Old Street roundabout, now known as Silicon Roundabout, fast becoming Europe's answer to Silicon Valley with technology firms flooding into the area. Now, for some time, we've seen the potential for gospel ministry in Old Street. And those of you who have been Moorgate Talks for a while, you'll know that over the last few years, we've had various events which the Moorgate Talks have put on in the Old Street area. Over the last 2 years, Phil and Claire have been meeting with Christians in Old Street, planning and praying towards launching public lunchtime talks, just like these ones. However, we're very conscious that it's not something we can really manage with the existing staff team without Phil and Claire being spread far too thinly. And therefore, the St. Botolph's Church Council has taken the decision to recruit an additional staff member from this September onwards to work towards and then launch and then oversee Old Street lunchtime talks. The new staff member will also serve at the Aldersgate talks, which in turn will mean that Phil and Claire will have more time to spend at the Moorgate talks. In other words, the Old Street staff member will also will be working as well at Aldersgate, while Phil and Claire will continue to be mainly at Aldersgate and Moorgate, but with a little bit more time at Moorgate than they do at the moment. So in summary, we are planning and praying that we had moved to a situation where St. Botolph's has a full-time vicar, whereas, of course, I've always been part-time. And certainly it's at least 40 years since St. Botolph's has had a full-time vicar, plus two other members of staff, Phil and Claire, and then to launch a third lunchtime talk. So do please be praying for all of those things as we move forward in the next few months or so. But I'm now going to hand back to Phil, and we're going to have our finance update.
Thanks, Simon. I don't know if you were, just to clarify, your internet cut out just at the key moment, sort of knocked out the word not when you said you said it's not been an easy decision, and I just heard it's been an easy decision to leave. So just to clarify, that's what you meant. It's not been an easy decision after 20 years.
It's not been an easy decision after 20 years, although it is made much easier, Phil, by the fact that you will be overseeing the interregnum.
Right, we're now going to look at the finances. I've just uploaded the financial summary for the year. Do sort of click on that. And what we're going to do is, if you click on that and open that up, we're going to hear a video from our treasurer, Victoria, as I seek to share my screen now with you. Hang on. Right. Great. So hopefully this works.
So I'm going to give an update on our finances, both for last year and for the coming year. I want to start by saying a huge thank you to you for your generosity in giving over the course of 2020. Giving for the year was around 140,000, and that's in line with what we had budgeted for at the start of the year, what we'd normally look to spend in staff costs, etc., over the course of a normal year. We also received some additional income last year from the furlough scheme due to Claire being unable to work from home for a large portion of the year. And again, I'm very grateful for that. Over the course of last year, expenses were lower than normal. In particular, we didn't need to hire the venue at Moorgate. And there were also some other reduced expenses and staff costs. In terms of the building itself at St Botolph's, we kept work on that to essential maintenance only. And in a normal year, the building totally pays for itself due to the rental income, etc., sustained over the course of the year. And that did continue to be the case in 2020, albeit that expenditure was also reduced quite dramatically. And as we look forward to next year, we do expect to need to do a little bit more maintenance on the building, just things we put off over the course of 2020. So we do expect those costs to be a bit higher. And the income for the building, again, uncertain, although we do hope the orchestras will resume and can start using the building again as soon as possible. However, as we did manage to reduce our expenses over the year, our income was in line with budget, we did achieve a surplus for the year of around 50,000. And that was really important for us, particularly as we started 2020 below our level of reserves. We don't have any extra reserves, so that money we hold in our bank account is what we need to pay our staff wages month on month. And being able to finish ahead, actually, of our reserve target is a huge encouragement and a huge blessing, particularly as we look forward to the next year, where we're looking on taking on that additional cost of an associate staff worker. And also we've got some uncertainty over the future of Phil's housing. We currently rent that at a very favourable rate from St Helens, and it's likely that St Helens will want to use that building for their own staff in the future, and we'll need to look to other sources and potentially paying something more in line with the natural market rate. So again, seeing our income figure hit for the year and having our reserves at our planned for level has given us the confidence really for the year ahead. But we do still need your giving, and if you don't already give already, I would encourage you to prayerfully consider it. It's so critical for the ministry. Most of our costs, as you can see from the charts, are on staff costs, and that's staff wages that we need. So giving regularly really is the best way and the most helpful way to give. And if you do need any further information on giving, do just let me know. There is information regularly attached to the emails, but I'm happy to provide details to anyone. Thank you very much.
Okay, well, a big thanks to Victoria in her absence for all her hard work as treasurer. As you saw, we've got lots to give thanks for in the area of finances. Thank you so much for your gospel partnership. You'll remember that there was an appeal in September, and the Lord has massively provided. And actually, I think it seems like in light of that appeal, we can, in good conscience, employ someone next year to come on the team. I think Paul would say, I'm rejoicing in the fruit that increases to your credit. But as Victoria said, we want to press on as a ministry. So, if you do want to review your giving, there will be an email coming tomorrow with details of how you can do that. And I'll send that through. Good. Just thought I'd finish with a note of encouragement and inspiration. So it's been a time, obviously lockdown for many of us has been hard ground and really tough to even have sort of contact with colleagues, let alone to witness to them. And so it can, when you've got your sort of head in just one workplace, it can be hard to sort of see the bigger picture. But actually, I wanted to pass on from a sort of bird's eye view, that in the Lord's goodness, in the last 11 months or so, there's been, as far as I can tell, more engagement with the gospel than at any other time really that I've known from non-Christians in terms of that short space of time. So 4 or 5 Christianity Explored courses in-house, but with sort of massive numbers coming. I think I counted somewhere between 40, 45 people engaging, coming along to at least one Christianity Explored session, some coming to more, people from atheist backgrounds, Catholics, sort of churchy, and ongoing as well, follow up with those courses. I just want to encourage you that actually many people have been engaging in Moorgate with the gospel. I don't remember Christianity Explored courses like that in any other context. So isn't it wonderful that through lockdown, actually, we've had that kind of opportunity? And it's not the case for everyone. It's only been the case for a small number of people, but it's good, isn't it, just to hear that, because we're a team, to hear actually some of us have been having opportunities. I thought we'd just hear from Will Rugg, who has been involved in one of those courses in Rathbones, just to hear what you've been doing, Will, in case it's of inspiration to anyone listening.
Yeah, so we're one of the ones that kind of sort of caught up in that tide of Christianity Explored that's been happening around us. And a couple of things that encouraged me to give that a try were, first of all, just hearing about how this shortened 3-week Christianity Explored course had gone really well at another firm in the Moorgate area. I was encouraged by that. And also just seeing in my own local church how actually with COVID and remote, you know, doing things remotely, we'd actually reached out to a wider audience than we ever had before. So there are people that had never, you know, got to hear the gospel that we were reaching through online services. So I thought, you know, this can work in the workplace. Plus, we had a great help from Phil in terms of supporting it. Phil led the CE courses for us at Rathbone. So that helped to make it easy for me and something that I could be confident in. Well, first of all, we just set a date, checked with Phil what dates would work with him, set a date, agreed to that. And then at that point, I just had to do it. So the way I advertised it at Rathbones was just to send an email out to the entire group. And as you can imagine, that was a pretty scary thing to do, you know, going out to everyone in the whole firm from the CEO on down, not knowing what the response would be like. The things that encouraged me to do that were, you know, as we've been hearing today, Jesus calls us to love him by feeding his sheep. And that's what I wanted to do, just and knowing that the deepest need that my colleagues have is to hear the good news about Jesus, to come to know him personally, and how powerful his word is to save people, knowing that those who are his will hear his voice and respond. So we sent the email out, and actually the response that we got was pretty astonishing. As soon as I sent the email out, I remember sitting there thinking the responses were coming back thick and fast, and I thought, you know, I just assumed they must be out of office replies, but actually they weren't. It was colleagues responding straight away, wanting to come along and do the Christianity Explored course. I think we got about 20 plus responses. Most of them came, you know, in the first few minutes of having sent the email out. And most of them did actually come along to the course, to those first 3 weeks. I think we had over 15 coming along consistently the first 3 weeks. After that, we asked if people would like to extend. Many did, so we went ahead and did it for 6 weeks. There weren't as many coming along for the full 6 weeks, but still a good number. And what we've done to follow up on that is we've offered colleagues to read Mark's gospel together and put on something that we're calling Meet Jesus. So just a simple way of saying, come and continue to find out more about who Jesus is and what he's done by looking at Mark's gospel together. And we've had 4 colleagues that responded to that. They've been coming along consistently, and it's been a real joy. And it's actually something that I found really easy to do. It doesn't take a lot of time to prepare. Phil shared with me some notes to help structure those studies in Mark. So I don't have to do a lot of preparation myself, but it's just so easy because you've got colleagues that are really engaged and really wanting to read it together and find out what Mark has to tell us about who Jesus is and why he came. And so it's really easy, something that anyone could do. And I would highly recommend just giving it a try with a CE course and having something like that to follow up on. It's been a real joy for me.
Thanks so much, Will. Praise God for that. And, you know, as I said, we could multiply that across some other workplaces as well. If you would like to look into doing that, I'm triple willing to help with that. So just get in touch and we can talk it through. I could come and lead it, or someone else could lead it, or you could lead it. There's lots of ways we can skin that particular cookie, to mix a very bad metaphor. I think our time is over officially. What we're going to do now is, if people want to stick on, you can get feel if you need to go, that's fine. I'm going to ask Alfie King to pray in light of some of the stuff that we've been hearing, and then there'll be a chance for questions for those of us who can and wish to stick around. So feel free to go. Alfie, would you mind praying for us? Thank you, brother.
Yeah, no, I don't. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness to us in so many ways. Thank you for your care and your sovereign mercy to each one of us. Thank you that you have forgiven us, and thank you that we have this good news to proclaim around the city and beyond. We pray in light of what we heard today, that we are those who want to follow you, who want to love you, by feeding your sheep, by caring for your flock, but also by proclaiming the gospel to those who do not yet know you. And thank you for the encouragement that those who hear your voice will respond. Please give us courage to do so, knowing that there are those out there who are yours, who belong to you. And we pray for the ministry going forward. We thank you for Simon's work over the past 20 years. And we pray for him as he retires from this ministry. And we thank you for his servant-heartedness and his faithfulness to having the word around the city. We pray for Old Street and his exciting new plans. We pray for Phil as he oversees the work, and Claire as well. And we pray and thank you for your provision for the finances, for generous gospel partners. And for all the things that we are excited for in the plans going forward. We pray for ourselves, Lord, that we will be those who continue to partner in this work, who want to see the gospel going out to our colleagues and our workplaces. And we just lift up plans to you, knowing that you are the ones who is in charge and in control. But we do pray for faithfulness on our part to just keep spreading your word. We lift all these things up to you and commit the future plans and this ministry to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Alfie. There's a time for any questions or comments that people have, if you want to Simon or myself.
Question for Simon. Simon, are your future plans top secret, or are you able to let us know what you might be going on to do? And by the way, thank you very much for all that you've done. Yeah, sorry, I should have started with that.
Well, as you know, I've only been part time here, so I think as I was saying to Will earlier on, that I think, although I'm committed to kind of long-term church leadership, I'm also very conscious that inevitably, whatever you lead, I mean, you guys know this in the business area as well. I mean, you lead both with your weaknesses as well as your strengths. And so therefore, I just think, well, for me, I think this is a good time to step aside. I'm thrilled that Phil is able to oversee the interregnum. And I mean, I'm mostly at the moment spend my time in Dulwich anyway, and so it just means I can be full-time in Dulwich. We're trying to establish a second service in Dulwich, which we'd love to do kind of autumn next year, autumn 2022, So it will also enable me to focus on that as well.
Thank you.
I've got a question for Will, if that's okay. Thank you so much for sharing. That's super encouraging. Just wondering, before you sent that email out, did you kind of speak to HR? Sorry if I missed it, if you talked about it, but did you kind of, warn anyone from the company? Like, was there any hoops you had to jump through? I've been thinking about doing a similar thing, but kind of the level of company onboardness that you need.
Yeah, thanks. I kind of glossed over that. That's a very good question. And what I did do in our case, so I did run it past HR first. I've had previous conversations with them about things that we wanted to advertise, but I always want to make sure that I do everything above board and, you know, in an honorable way as far as human resources are concerned. So I did run it past them. In the past, they'd said, that's not really anything that we have anything to do with. If you're making sure that everyone in the whole firm is welcome to come along to whatever you're putting on, that's fine. Just make sure that's what you're doing. And so that was brilliant. You know, we have kind of not carte blanche exactly, but you know, that's it. As long as you're including anyone and everyone in whatever it is that you're advertising, then you can be a Christian fellowship and put events on, send emails out on behalf of the Christian fellowship. So that's the kind of context in which I sent the email to the whole group. Like, kind of had their tacit blessing, I guess. They're probably not, I would imagine they're probably not excited themselves about having a message going around to the whole business advertising Christianity Explored course, but they were okay with me doing that.
That's really helpful and cool that they said, yes, you can do it as long as you invite everyone.
Yeah, I know, which is brilliant. That's fantastic. It's exactly what we wanted.
Okay, that's really helpful. So, but it was in the kind of context of an established Christian fellowship that they already knew about.
That's
really helpful. Thanks.
You're welcome.
I guess that's going to be the issue for a lot of us, perhaps, is that sort of question of how could we sort of advertise this sort of in an honourable way across the whole firm. Do people have stuff to say about that, sort of advice on that? Questions?
We had the privilege and slaughters of having, as I say, an established Christian fellowship for some time, so that does help. And we've, very similar to Will, we've tried to, on one hand, keep HR informed all the time and try to be upfront and honest as much as we can. Is sometimes quite hard to explain exactly what it is. But there are some times where I am aware that not all firms have the most accommodating of HR. We've been fortunate in that sense that our HR has been accommodating as long as we're fairly transparent about it. And they kind of rely on, you know, if people don't want to come, they won't come kind of idea. But we have had pushback on certain aspects of advertising. So sometimes they've vetted the way we said things. They've been a bit wary if we are very upfront about the fact that, you know, we're going to talk about Jesus. So sometimes the messaging gets curtailed a bit. And I think it does depend a bit on how big your organization is and how institutionalized certain things are. As well, sometimes it works better because we had a good relationship with one or two people in HR, and that helps smooth things. Sometimes that, unfortunately, just doesn't work in the same way. But in all things, I think we just try to be as transparent as possible, but also as straightforward as possible. So if there are certain things that we say very very bluntly, to be honest, that we're going to do this. And funnily enough, one of the advantages of being virtual, there are many disadvantages, but one of the advantages is that because people want to be seen to be boosting morale and trying to do outside work stuff, in some ways they've been more accommodating and say, well, run it online, there's no cost to anything. If people want to turn up, they can log on, and actually they might appreciate that there's a kind of, they see it as a networking thing, if you see what I mean, and leave it at that. So there, but I can understand if some workplaces are harder than others.
Can I share a couple of stories with you, Anna? Two things there. I offered to advertise a carol service online 1 year, no problem. Went through, people came to the carol service, it was fine. Next year, oh, we don't do a religious stuff, so no religious advertising. And so I was banned from advertising a carol service in my former firm, which was kind of weird, but there we are. And then another story I heard was that somebody got lots of gospels and decided that he would put one on every desk in the firm. So he came in early one day and put a gospel, I think it was Schroeder's, put a gospel on every desk in the firm. And of course, HR heard about it and they said, no, you can't do that. You've got to go collect them all up again. So during the day, he had to go to every desk and collect the gospels. And he had some fantastic conversations as he was collecting the gospels. One person said, no, I want to keep, lots of people said, no, I want to keep it. Quite a lot of people said, well, why does HR object to you giving me a gospel? And why do they want you to take it back? He had much, much better conversations because of having to go around to every desk to collect the gospels than he would have had if they just put the gospels on there and nobody said anything, they will all put them in the bin. So the Lord works in mysterious ways, but his word is powerful.
Thanks, Ian. Of course, you know, if we've been in our firms a long time, we'll have a big group of personal contacts within the firm, won't we? So it may be that actually for some of us, even though there may not be a public platform, that actually you might feel you know quite a lot of people personally and can just invite people, you know, say, look, I was thinking about doing this. You know, it's difficult times, isn't it? People think have big questions. Do you want to come and join me and we can look at this together online? So there's various ways to do it, isn't there? A good challenge. I think we will draw stumps there. Thank you very much, everyone, for coming. As I say, do please get in touch with me about putting something like that on. I'd love to think it through further with you in your context. Thank you for your partnership in the gospel. It's a great joy. And next week, do come along. We're starting a new series in Luke's gospel. With Simon coming to... I get mixed up. Aldersgate.
Simon was looking worried then.
In Moorgate, we're in Acts. My apologies. With Brian and Alfie.